Let me get this. In other religions, they have this idea of conscience. That's not consciousness, conscience. What you're saying, the little voice. And that conscience can be accepted as super soul because we learn from the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna says, Sarvasya chaham riddhi sani vishta matak smritir gyanam apohanam cha. From me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So, you can accept that inner voice to be God, but there's a caveat. Because God plays equally. God is also in the heart of the demon. And he's also giving so-called good advice to the demon. Now, the demon doesn't want to be good, and God knows that. So God says, oh, you want to be a demon? I'll help you to be a demon. And for the good person, God says, okay, you want to be good? I'll help you to be good. So, the choice is up to me and you. Which voice do I want to be? For instance, you may not have seen, but there is a commercial now they sometimes run on television. And they first show the good voice, like an angel, telling the person to do something, which is good. And at the end of the commercial, they show the bad conscience. Say, hey, what about me? So that is the predicament of all of us. We have a good side that's telling us, yeah, that would be good. But there's also the bad side saying, hey, but you don't want to do that. You want to do this. So the question becomes, because we're on this platform, we can go either way. We can go good or we can go bad. So therefore, the idea is to learn how to say no to the bad idea and to always say yes to the good. And that becomes strengthened by performance of religious or spiritual activities. That's one reason why we study Bhagavad Gita, to that make sure we know how to distinguish between what's the good voice and what's the bad voice. That's why you need a trainer. You need a spiritual trainer who can help you to discern. No, that's not a good idea. I have disciples all over the world that write me from time to time just on this. For instance, I have a disciple in Santiago, Chile. So whenever she's got a problem, she'll send me an email, Guruji, what do you think about this? And then I give her advice. I counsel her. It's up to her to accept or reject. So I have people like that all over the world that have enough sense to like, hey, I'm about to do this. What do you think this is a good idea? So having a spiritual trainer, studying the revealed scriptures, attending programs like this, going to the temple, puts you in the best case scenario that you will always make the best decision. But if you neglect these things, then you're going to be carried away by that other voice which is constantly trying to take us away. So there's a struggle going on. The two. One taking us away and one taking us to the light. Is that all right?
I just want to compliment your answer because I had this point I was discussing with Suraj and he said, oh, how can you say, Hitler said, I'm good. My little boy is telling me to do all this, you know, kill all the Jewish. So your answer, I think now, can guide us if we want to be bad. He can guide us to be really good at that too.
This is the value of prayer.
Right.
When we pray, we're putting ourselves in a situation. Prayer means you're being humble. Somebody who's not humble doesn't pray. A person who prays signifies they're humble. The whole mood of prayer is, please, Lord, guide me. Show me some kind of sign. That's what prayer is. Please, it's a request for God to help. And Krishna's in the heart, and He does want to help. Krishna says in the Gita, I am your best friend. Krishna says this in chapter 5 of Bhagavad Gita. I am your best friend. But He doesn't interfere with my free will. If I want to be bad, God will say, okay, you want to be bad? I'll help you to be bad. I don't think it's a good idea, but you're insisting. Okay. Yes, sir. That's the whole thing of this material world. Everybody's allowed to do whatever they want.
There will be consequences.
First of all, you got to understand what is this whole material world. As I explained in the outset, everybody's here because they want to enjoy. And you're given free will. So God doesn't interfere with free will. So what's going on? Since time immemorial, there is always this fight between good and evil. You know Mahabharata, right? The Kauravas were evil, Pandavas were good. And then eventually there came the war.
God helped Arjuna to kill the bad people.
Yes.
He didn't help Arjuna to kill the good people.
No, that's true. But at the same time, God was helping Duryodhana in deciding what he wanted to do. God plays both sides.
Sorry, what was that
part? Okay. Is Krishna in the heart of Duryodhana? Duryodhana is not getting anything other than intelligence from God. Same way with Ravana. God was in the heart of Ravana. How did Ravana get to be Ravana? He had a desire, and God says, okay, if that's your desire, then do like this. You follow?
Well, yeah, kind of, but the thing is, what about the people who get hurt in the past? Like 9/11, let's say, right? I mean, 3,000 people die. I mean, should God help those two or whatever, the people on that?
Okay, so on that level, okay, if that's the level you want to take it, and the same thing with Hitler and the Jews, and so many.
Yeah.
Once you enter this material world, you have entered the realm of karma. And since you have entered the realm of karma, nobody is innocent. Everybody has got sinful reactions that they have to pay for. So sometimes things are meted out on a whole scale level. Everybody has to die one way or the other. So 9/11 was karma. It was karma on this way. It was America's karma that now this will happen. For those people that died, one of them could have been my brother, by the way. On that day, he got late on his subway. If he had gotten on time, he would have been one of the people died in the towers. And he told me, because he called me later on in the day, that his subway was late. And so when he arrived, the buildings had just collapsed and everybody was running. He told me that story that night when I finally got a hold of him. So for all the people that died, that was their karma.
In the past life.
And in this life. This life and past life. Same way. Look, you know from India, you have suffered under the Muslim regime. You suffered under British rule. That was also karma. Everything in this material realm is karma, whether it be good or bad. That's the way this material world is set up. Karma is one of the mechanisms of how this world works. Karma. If you don't like this concept of karma, what is your vision of how... Explain to me... Oh, okay. Okay. See, let me tell you.
But see, I can't explain, but I'm sorry.
That's all right.
But see, I can't explain, but the thing is, at the same time, I will not buy somebody's notion of saying that, well, this is how it works out, that's how it is.
It's not made up by him or somebody. The scripture says that. It's not made up by...
I know. He didn't make it.
Yes, but his point is, this is a concept in the scriptures that he just can't swallow. I understand that. So let me tell you, before becoming, if I use the word Hindu, I came from the Catholic training. So in the Catholic religion, they have some concept of karma, some very little, but not extensively as our Hindu scriptures do. So these kinds of questions, the Catholic religion does not have an answer for. They say it is a mystery and nobody can understand it. You just have to accept it. And that's why I like this philosophy. I had many such, like you, I had many things that I was taught as a Catholic that I didn't like or they didn't have the answers for. Then when I found Bhagavad Gita and Srila Prabhupada, I felt, now these answers satisfy me. You understand? So, for you personally, all I would say is, you have not yet found somebody who has been able to instill in you the requisite faith that you can accept. Okay? That is the only thing I can say. There's no fault in you. You're being honest. You're saying, I can't agree with that. So, in order for you, you will need someone who is able to inspire you and touch you so that you get it. For me, it was Srila Prabhupada. When I saw him, I was, you're right,
yes.
Lucky. Yes. And I've preached this point many, many times. Just like so many people, they don't necessarily accept Krishna as God. Okay? And my explanation for that is, yes, I understand that, because to come to the point of understanding that Krishna is God is a gift, it's a blessing. Even Krishna says it takes millions of lifetimes before you can come to that stage. Okay? So then, if you have gotten to that point where, yes, I do accept Krishna as God, that is the greatest blessing and gift, and you should cherish it. See, for me, it makes total sense that the reason why these things are happening to me is because I did something in the past, now I have to pay for it. Otherwise, God becomes this vindictive, or He just chooses those He likes and chooses. Then I hate God. You follow? If it's not karma, then I really don't care about God, because He's just indiscriminately saying, okay, you can be good. Just like in the Catholic religion, they don't have an answer why somebody is born crippled. They don't have an answer. Right? Whereas... So you know what I'm talking about. Whereas... It's very clear. I know it may be hard to accept, but for me, it makes total sense. Oh, this has happened because in the past, which I can't see, but there has to be some cause. Otherwise, the concept of God becomes someone who's vindictive or likes others and doesn't like some. And that kind of God, I don't want nothing to do with. In this way, it's got nothing to do with God. The responsibility is up to me. I am accepting responsibility to what happens in my life. Let me act in such a way that in the future, it doesn't happen again. Finish up. But the thing is, still, as long as you're in this material world, you're going to have to experience what's going on. Wars, famine, bad. Like, a week ago, I was in a car accident. I had just gone shopping. I was 2 minutes away from turning into my driveway. I'm stopped at a light. Bam! A guy rear-ends me. And I was thinking, ugh. Because you know that sound. That, you know, the guy, it was his fault. But I understood. I must have done something, because there's no accidents. We call it an accident. But actually, there's no accident. When bad things happen, it means I'm paying off my karmic debt. And when good things happen, I'm reaping the benefits of my pious activities. But the real conclusion should be, hey, let this be my last material birth.
Well, that's kind of tough though. I mean, you have to live a life of things. You don't like it all.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Krishna says you just have to surrender. Krishna says if you surrender to me, this is your last birth in this material world. I have full belief in that. Yes. And
you know, surrender unto me, and you know, I mean, he says in Catholics and Christians, Jesus said the same thing, but I'm not saying that I'm not gonna be going on that side, like saying, well, he said that and Krishna said that, so it's saying no.
Actually, Jesus said to love God. He didn't say love himself. He said to love... No, he said love God. So that's why I say to the Christians, so who is God? And my answer, Krishna. Krishna says, surrender to me. Christ said, love God. So that God that Christ is referring to is Krishna. Krishna. No, he appears as a burning bush. He appears as a voice. They hardly have any description. Yes. And again, you're talking to somebody who was raised that way for 19 years. In fact, on Wednesday and Thursday, I'm going to be speaking in a Catholic high school. I go every year to this one Catholic high school. This one teacher always invites me, and she lets me sing and explain all these things. Karma, yes, I tell them the straight thing. I don't fool around. I tell them about my experience, how I also, and I know all the arguments. Yes. That's why Krishna is cool. No, he tricked himself because he had bad thought in his mind. I'll give you another example. Same thing. But see, keep in mind, Krishna is helping all the demons because they cannot do anything independent. They need Krishna's help. I used to preach like that when I was selling books in the airport. When I would meet someone, I'm not interested in this. I would say, no. I know, read this chapter 16. It'll teach you how to be the biggest demon rascal. Go ahead. So there's another story. The churning of the ocean of milk. The demons are one side. Demigods are on the other. Vishnu goes to the demons and says, which side of the snake do you want? So the demigods had gone to the head. And so the demons, when they were asked by Vishnu, said, the demigods went to the... We want the head. They were jealous. They tricked themselves. Not that Krishna... Well, that's Krishna's fault. No. So, Krishna said, you want the head? Okay, we'll give you the head. We'll take the tail. And then, as they're pulling the snake is breathing out fire and smoke. The demons are getting all burnt up. There's another example in the Bhagavatam. If I'm talking and I bite my tongue, is that God's fault? That's my fault. I can't blame anybody that I bit my tongue. So, God gives us free will to choose you, and that's why we need to read Bhagavad Gita so we know what choices to make in life. You probably are vice principal here. So, you know, the teachers are supposed to instruct the students how to use their intelligence, correct? Without teachers, without parents, you know, a young child not necessarily going to make the right decisions in life. You need good parents, you need teachers, right? So that as you grow, you learn what are the right things. For instance, when I was 5 years old, I took a pencil and I put it in the socket. My mother came and, you know, taught me that you don't do that. You know? So, you have parents, you have teachers, you have spiritual trainers who are there to help guide. But, as we say in America, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make. You cannot make. All you can do is try. What else? What? No more questions? Song? Okay, that's good. I love song.